Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, a South Texas community partner for generations. Christus Spahn is proud to be a part of your life, caring for families and providing quality medical care to all. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, the Dr. and Mrs. Hugh A. Kennedy Foundation, and the Koch Foundation, supporting the Catholic Church and its ministries across South Texas.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
For you to be here as well and praying with all of you. Just one thing before I begin with the opening hymn. Midweek this week, we will receive our new parochial vicar, Father Richard Gutierrez. So next weekend, he will be with us, and we want to invite you to welcome him next weekend. And Deacon Carlos and Deacon Mance will be introducing him next weekend, as unfortunately, I don't think I can be back in time for that. So it's a little bit of a hectic week that lies ahead, but let us keep each other in prayer and welcome him next weekend. My dear family, I want to welcome all of you joining us via television, radio, and internet. Thank you for being with us this morning and letting us come into your homes and be with you at your with your family and being with you either at home or at the hospital, wherever you may be this day. Please know that here at the Cathedral, we pray for each and every one of you, each and every day, and we always indeed are grateful to you for letting us be with you each Sunday. My dear family, let us all join in our opening hymn, God of our Fathers, whose almighty hand. Let us all stand to begin our celebration.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
My brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, what I have done and what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask the Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy. For on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the prophet Ezekiel. As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one who was speaking to me say, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart are they to whom I am sending you. But you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, and whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. The word of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, that I, Paul, might not become too elated because of the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. I will rather boast most gladly of my weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord.
From the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christian, there comes a time or two when we may feel that God is not listening to our prayers. This especially happens when we're actually asking for something good and not for a new car or something selfish. Something good like healing for a child, a return to faith of members of the family who have strayed, and to abortion, things like this. When we're praying for something like that, sometimes God gives us what we ask, and sometimes not. And we can wonder about that, and for some, a lack of positive response to prayer might become an occasion to doubt God's love. And yet God always hears our prayers, and his response is always a response of love and mercy. It cannot be otherwise because God is love. And the problem is that we do not see ourselves or the things that are happening to us or in the world as God sees them. For that reason, if we are going to remain in peace and in God's good graces, we must make an ongoing and daily effort of prayer, of reading the scripture, to try to understand what is God doing in our lives, to try to understand what God is doing in our world. And above all else, we must come to trust that what our Heavenly Father is doing in our lives is for our absolute good, for our eternal good, for that eternal salvation for everyone who puts their faith and hope in him. Today's readings help us put these things in the perspective that we need to see, the perspective of God. So the gospel helps us understand the nature of miracles, which is what we often pray for when we ask something of God. In the gospel passage that we just heard read, we hear Jesus return to his hometown, and we learn that his neighbors did not respect his preaching and did not accept him as a prophet. And the gospel ends by stating something very quietly, very subtly, but very powerfully. It says Jesus was not able to perform any mighty deeds there. That is to say, he was not able to perform miracles. Now, we should not understand that Jesus' power is limited in any way, that he wasn't capable of doing any miracle. As true God and true man, Jesus could cure at will without anyone's faith or approval. However, given the nature, the true understanding of what miracles are, Jesus would not have worked a mighty deed there, because the people didn't have the faith to realize what the miracle meant. In the New Testament, miracles are always signs. They are acts of Jesus, which were meant not just to heal or to exorcise demons, but really, above all else, to confirm and increase the faith of those for whom the miracle was performed and for those who witnessed the miracle. This increase of faith is the greatest gift that we could possibly be given, the greatest gift that Jesus gave to those whom he cured, because it keeps us and it keeps them and it kept them moving on the right track towards eternal life. And Jesus realized that the people of his own hometown lack the faith necessary to appreciate that the miracle is a sign of God's presence and love. And so that he decided that performing these mighty deeds would not lead to increase of faith, hope, and charity. They might think it was a magic show or something, and then the miracle would fail to achieve what miracles are for. And so to see things from God's perspective, we have to see God's major concern for our lives, and that we should learn to adopt his point of view, that our salvation of our souls should be our first priority. And that is God's ultimate plan. And God's ultimate plan should be what's at the forefront of our minds in everything we do, and especially in those petitions we place before him. And those who pray novenas understand very well this, because every novena ends something like this: please grant this intention if it's for the good of my soul and for the salvation of the world. The second reading provides us with a concrete example of how God answers our prayers in the best way possible, even though it might not be the way that we were particularly looking for. The example comes from the life of a great saint, St. Paul. So in that second reading, we hear that St. Paul asked God many times for a particular favor. He writes that three times he begged the Lord that the thorn in his side might leave him. And we also read that this prayer wasn't answered in the way that St. Paul hoped for. And yet the saint did not turn away from God in anger or disappointment or discouragement, as many could, as many have. Instead, St. Paul kept close to God, kept the faith, kept praying, because St. Paul did not turn away from God when God did not answer the prayers in the way he wished. God answered those prayers in a more powerful way, in a special way, giving him much more than he thought he could get, and giving him exactly what he needed so that he could keep growing in his Christ-like identity and so meriting eternal reward. In fact, in answer to his prayers, God taught St. Paul that great virtue of humility, which is the foundation of all the virtues because it opens us up to living more fully God's plan for our lives. These are important lessons for us as we continue our journey of faith. God wants to bring us, wants to listen to our needs. He wants to hear what we have to say. He's longing to hear us because he is our Heavenly Father and is concerned for everything that's going on in our life. And yet, while he does have a concern for our well-being in this world, his major concern and the purpose of all he does in our lives is that we might get to heaven to enjoy eternal bliss in his presence. And so he wants to teach us humility, patience. He wants to free us from our sins, to help us understand and carry the daily cross, and to lead us to a truer life of charity. Grasping this truth about God's divine love and providential will and holding on to it in faith, as did St. Paul, opens up for us an understanding that gives our lives its ultimate purpose and shows us that all we do and experience from God is a gift of his great love. Let us then be people of faith and surrender ourselves completely to divine providence so that God may work his will through our lives. Let us learn to say, as Jesus said in the garden, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." Together let us profess our creed. I believe in one God, Father Omega, maker of heaven and of earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, brother from all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men, for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Standing in the Lord's presence, we placed our trust in God as we call to mind our needs and the needs of the world.
For the Church, that we may be a consistent witness to the world of our faith as we fight for truth, peace, and justice in our communities and our nation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our country on this anniversary of its independence, that it may truly live up to the values on which it was founded, establishing justice for all, promoting the general welfare, and securing liberty for generations to come. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who suffer from incurable or terminal illness, that they may be comforted by their faith and by those they love, let us pray to the Lord. For our parish, that we may be inspired to work in support of those who are not able to enjoy the full fruits of our country's promises of liberty and justice, Let us pray to the Lord. That God may extend his healing hand upon those who suffer from illness in our community, especially those who continue to be affected by the coronavirus, and bless those who minister to them. Let us pray to the Lord. For the eternal repose of the souls of Frank Garza Jr., Susana Molina, the deceased members of the Hagelin family, Chris Garcia, and for the special intentions of Connie Cueva and Father Pete Elizardo. And we also pray for Felicidad Castillo. For these we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayers. And for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts, for all our intentions, spoken and unspoken, which we mention now in silence. We pray to the Lord.
Heavenly Lord, you inspire us to build up communities, nations, and the whole human race with the ideals that would bring us closer to you. May the Holy Spirit work through us to continually make these ideals real in our relationships with each other, within and across borders. We ask this and all our prayers through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice in your hands, the praise of the Lord, and the name of
the Lord. May this oblation dedicated to your name purify us, O Lord, and day by day bring our conduct closer to the life of heaven through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you so loved the world that in your mercy you sent us the Redeemer to live like us in all things but sin, so that you might love in us what you loved in your Son, by whose obedience we have been restored to those gifts of yours that by sinning we had lost in disobedience. And so, Lord, with all the angels and saints, we too give you thanks as in exaltation we acclaim.
Amen.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis our Pope, William Michael our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope in the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Peace. God bless you.
Peace.
Thank you for the homily.
Peace with you.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, O Lord, that having been replenished by such great gifts, we may gain the prize of salvation and never cease to praise you through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for some announcements.
Just a few brief announcements. After this Mass, at about 10:30, the second-year confirmation students from Sacred Heart will be meeting in Classroom 4 until about 12 p.m. So that's about noon. So if you're in second-year confirmation from Sacred Heart, we'll be meeting in Classroom 4 after this Mass. And also, volunteers are needed to help with the 2021-2022 religious education school year here at the Cathedral. If you've done this before or you're new, if you're interested in helping in any way, big or small, please contact the parish office. We very much need catechists, we need assistants, we need everyone to be as involved as you're able to be. So if you're willing and able to help with that ministry, please call. And finally, the parish office will be closed tomorrow, July 5th, in observance of Independence Day. May you all have a blessed 4th of July.
Hello, I'm Father Pete Alisadro, Rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with His love, peace, and joy. And may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, a part of your life, providing advanced quality care and vital services close to home and dedicated to keeping South Texas healthy and strong. More information is available at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast. If you have been blessed by our efforts and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.